One of my favorite times of the year. We have two favorite times, the Academy Awards and the summer movie season, and then the Christmas movie season. And Nell Minow, the movie mom, also a writer for RogerEbert.com, is here. And welcome, Nell.
Well, thank you. Okay. We got a lot of fun movies to talk about.
All right, now it's June, but let's go back a couple of weeks because that's when the summer movie season started a couple of weeks ago. Let's talk about May.
Well, I really, really liked the movie Pressure with Brendan Fraser as Dwight Eisenhower, General, future President Eisenhower, planning D-Day. And it turns out the whole thing depended on the weather. They had all the ships lined up. They had all the planes lined up. They had all the soldiers lined up. But they could not do the invasion unless they had clear weather. They wouldn't have the visibility that the planes needed. They wouldn't have it was too wavy. They couldn't land the ships. What were they going to do? And they had competing meteorologists. The American meteorologist, played by the wonderful Chris Messina, says, oh, it's going to be very sunny. But the British meteorologist said, I'm seeing two storms coming. Now, you know, we're all used to just looking at our phone, and you can have all the access to all the weather information you want, but they didn't have satellites or radar or anything like that back then. They had human beings all over the world sending them telegrams about what was going on, and it's very tense. The wonderful Andrew Scott plays the British meteorologist, who is absolutely heroic, and Damian Lewis from Billions plays the head of the British military, Montgomery. I thought it was absolutely gripping, so well done. Really, really liked it.
Brendan Fraser is getting good roles. The Whale was a huge win for him.
Well, you know, you get an Oscar and they start coming to you with some good roles.
Yeah. Okay, so that's Pressure. That's in theaters right now, Pressure. And we also have The Breadwinner, which is a comedy with Nate Barzet. Ooh, wait a second. I just lost everything here. Okay. With, how do you pronounce Nate?
Bargatze.
We play a ton of his comedy stuff here in the morning. He is just funny. He's got that look about him with the bulgy eyes, you know, the look in his eyes.
Yeah.
And he is funny. And this is the first movie for him, Breadwinner.
It is. And he wrote it. I can't say anything good about it because it's basically a remake of Mr. Mom, which came out in 1983. And in 2026, it's just not hilarious that dad doesn't know how to do laundry or, you know the names of his kids' teachers. I mean, that's child neglect. And, so his wife goes on, played by Mandy Moore, goes on Shark Tank, and they love her project, and they give her a lot of money, and so he has to take care of the kids, and, oh, he's so incompetent, and, oh, there's product placement every 5 seconds. It's like an infomercial, so not great. Stick with Mr. Mom.
Let's back up a little bit more. Michael and The Devil Wears Prada 2. I want your opinions on those.
Well, you know, for Michael, I always have to ask myself, would I rather watch this or would I rather just go and watch the real person? And I would much rather, I saw Michael Jackson in concert, also saw Janet Jackson in concert, who's not in the movie, which is incredibly bizarre. So I thought, you know, it was entertaining. Jafar Jackson, his nephew, does a really good job of imitating him, but I didn't think there was anything there that was more than what I would see if I just watched the real Michael Jackson. In fact, I did come home and listen to a lot of Michael Jackson songs and watch some video clips. It was pretty entertaining, but kind of sterile in a way because it leaves out so much. So I thought it was okay. Coleman Domingo, absolutely great as the terrifying Joe Jackson, and Nia Long as his lovely mother. And I thought it was just okay.
What about The Devil Wears Prada 2?
I thought that was great. In a way, I liked it better than the original. You know, I'm not of the generation that really bonded on the original. And so I thought this one had a better storyline and more interesting characters. They were more developed. And I thought it was absolutely wonderful how much affection they did have for the fans with so many different, very charming and funny callbacks. But boy, you can't beat Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci, and the goddess Meryl Streep. I thought it was great. I've seen it twice already.
In the theater, they had a preview of something. I forget what it was. And they had the actor who played Anne Hathaway's boyfriend in the first movie. And he starts off by saying, hi, I'm so-and-so. They didn't invite me back for the sequel to The Devil Wears Prada.
That's That's right.
Starts right off
that's
with that.
Right. Wasn't a very good boyfriend. That's Adrian Grenier. Yeah. And he was not a very good boyfriend, if you remember. He did not support her ambition, and that was not good. But he was a chef, and he made her a great grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, I remember that. I was actually there when they were filming the original Devil Wears Prada. I was at a Broadway musical, and I let out, and I saw like six moving vans on 43rd Street, just off Times Square. And I walked into one. There was a desk set up, and I said, "You making a movie?" Because I've seen a lot of movies made there. And he said, "Yeah."
Sure.
I said, "Anybody big in it?" He goes, "None other than Miss Meryl Streep." I said, "Meryl Streep's going to be here?" She goes, "No,
I can't get bigger."
No, he said, "Anne Hathaway's going
to get bigger than that."
He said, "Anne Hathaway's going to be here." That was the scene they were filming when she's in Times Square, where they're going to meet her father, and and Meryl Streep's in a tropical storm somewhere and wants a jet immediately to get her out of there. That's the scene. It's only on they had six moving vans of equipment for a scene that lasted less than 60 seconds on the screen. Wow.
That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood. And by the way, one of the things I really liked about the sequel is they gave the Meryl Streep character more breadth. You know, in the first one, she was just very mean and very witchy. But in this one, she's dealing with some stuff. And she has to hang up her own coat, which is very funny if you know the first one. And I like that a lot. I want to recommend a little movie that might have passed you by that's also in theaters right now. It's called The Tuner. And there are two reasons to see it. One is, it's a very well-constructed, tense little thriller about a man who has a hearing disability where everything is much, much too loud for him. So he has to wear noise-canceling headphones all the time, but his hearing is extremely sensitive. And so he's a piano tuner, and his boss is played by an actor you might have heard of named Dustin Hoffman. And when he gets involved with some Russian criminals who find out that his excellent hearing makes him very good at cracking safes, it's about what happens then. So it's a very good little thriller. But the main reason to see it is that the guy who plays the main character is an actor named Leo Woodall. And you have not heard his name yet, but I'm predicting right now he's going to be a big star. And you're going to want to say, "Oh, yeah, I saw his first big movie."
Let me write that down.
Excellent.
Let me write that prediction down so I can throw it back in your face.
All right, go ahead. We'll talk a year from now. You'll see. He had a small but very good role in a movie last year, and I noticed him, and I talked to the director about it, and he said, "Oh yeah, trust me on this. He's just going to be enormous."
The Movie Mom, Nell Minow, with us this morning. We're talking about the summer movie season, and let's talk about some of these superhero movies because there are a ton of them. And let's kick it off June 5th with Masters of the Universe. My daughter used to play with those games when she was a little kid back in the early 80s. I guess they're back, huh?
Yeah, they are back. You know, one of my favorite movies of the year so far was The Sheep Detectives. And if you haven't seen that, I really strongly urge you to see it. And one of the stars of that movie is another up-and-coming actor named Nicholas Galitzine. And he packed on like 40 pounds of muscle to play He-Man, the main character in The Masters of the Universe. And Jared Leto is playing Skeletor, which may be the only role that he's fit for at this point. The very, very popular 1980s cartoon series is coming to live action. All I can say is I was not really looking forward to this movie, but I spoke to somebody who worked on it, and he said, "Trust me, you're really going to like it. I'm seeing it tonight. So stick with me. Come back in a couple of days, and you'll see my review."
All right, at moviemom.com. All right, let's talk about a franchise that just keeps on giving. Scary Movie.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say the same thing. Since they make the same movie every time, I'm going to give the same review every time, which is that it's not enough just to refer to something that's popular. You have to actually make a joke about it, which they don't really do. But I do love everybody in the cast. And, you know, I love the Wayans brothers. Regina Hall, I think, can do anything. If you haven't seen her serious movie, Support the Girls, I absolutely love that movie. Anna Faris, as you know, from the TV show Mom. So it's got a great cast, and it has a lot of silly stuff in it. And that's all I have to say about it.
Okay, we saw a lot of previews for this film over the past few weeks. Power Ballad with Paul Rudd.
I was disappointed by it. I'm so sorry, because I really love this director. He always has movies about music and musicians. He made the wonderful movie once. He made one of my absolute favorites, Sing Street, if you haven't seen that one, about a bunch of school kids making music. It's absolutely wonderful. So I love his movies. But this one kind of, and I love Paul Rudd. Who doesn't love Paul Rudd? But this one kind of let me down. So it's about a one-time aspiring musician who's now doing wedding cover band stuff and feeling a little out of place. He married an Irish girl, and so he lives in Ireland. And he happens to meet Nick Jonas, who, just like in real life, is having a solo career following being in a very popular boy band. And they jam together one night. And the next thing you know, the Nick Jonas character has got a huge hit. And it's the song that Paul Rudd created. So it's about what happens. And it's about, what do we want from art? Do we want it to make us feel fulfilled, or do we want to make a lot of money? And I thought it really fell apart in the last half. So go and see the first half and then leave.
Okay. All right. The next one is for people who do hanky-panky in the office place. This might hit too close to home. Office Romance.
Yeah, well, two great performers in that, Brett Goldstein from Ted Lasso and Jennifer Lopez. And she is the boss of an airline, and he goes to work for her, and they're immediately attracted to each other, but nobody can know about it. So I think you know exactly what's happening there. That is going to be on Netflix.
What was the what was that movie with Glenn Close and Michael Douglas that scared everybody, who was having a...
Disclosure? Was it Disclosure?
No.
I think it was the name.
The one where she said, "I will not be ignored."
Yeah.
Now, wasn't this...
Yeah. Fatal Attraction.
So everybody who was cheating on their spouse saw that movie.
I was thinking about the one with Demi Moore.
Right.
The one with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas. Yeah, he seems to get in a lot of trouble with women.
After that movie, people decided, well, I don't, maybe I won't cheat anymore. Because it was so frightening. It changed their mind.
Not if you have a pet bunny.
Oh, well, that bunny scene. Oh, yeah. Don't start with that.
What's really funny about that movie is that Glenn Close thought she was the sympathetic character while she was playing it. I guess you have to.
I will not be ignored. The birthday
That's
party.
That's right, Dan. I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
The birthday party.
And his wonderful wife was played by the great Ann Archer.
Yes.
In that movie.
We were just talking about her the other day. Yeah, Ann Archer. Yeah. That was such a scary movie. I saw it several times. It just still frightens me to this day. Not that I'm ever planning to cheat on my wife, but just, I don't know. It just made me scared. I mean, all these guys who had one-night flings. Okay, the birthday party.
Yeah, you know, but one that might strike even more close to home for you is Play Misty For Me, which is a very similar plot, but it's about a radio guy, DJ.
It was on TCM last night.
And this girl calls up, is that right?
Yeah, it was
on TCM,
yeah.
And this girl calls up and says, "Play Misty For Me," Jessica Walter, who later was on television. But yeah, okay, the birthday party. Yes, Willem Dafoe plays a sort of a Aristotle Onassis type guy, very, you know, a zillionaire, and he's giving a birthday party for his daughter, and there's a lot of intrigue because everybody wants something from him, and he's got his own plans for the evening. So yeah, it's a very twisted story.
Here's the one I am waiting for. You can't go wrong with Steven Spielberg. And June 12th, Disclosure Day.
Steven Spielberg and Aliens.
Yeah,
Steven Spielberg and Aliens. You really can't go wrong. And what a cast. It's got Emily Blunt, who we just saw in Devil Wears Prada 2. Coleman Domingo, who we're just talking about him. He can do anything. He played Michael Jackson's father. He's in the new TV series on Netflix, the second season of The Four Seasons. Colin Firth and Josh O'Connor, who was in 5 big movies last year and is just rocketing up the Hollywood roster. Steven Spielberg. And it's about aliens, but it's also about trust in our institutions and whether they deserve it. If you've seen the trailer, it looks really creepy and intriguing, and I am super excited about it.
Still my favorite Steven Spielberg movie is The Fablemans. I just love that movie. I think
you
that
know,
was his best movie.
Our daughter worked on that one. That is a great movie. I think it's one of his more neglected movies. It did very well, but I think it is an absolutely brilliant film. It has one of the best endings of any film I ever saw. And our daughter, who's a costume designer, worked on it and just loved every minute of working on it.
You know, I interviewed Joseph Williams recently. He's lead singer for the rock band Toto. And his father is John Williams, the composer. And we're talking about his father.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's John Williams. That's his father.
Oh, my God.
And his mother is...
John Williams, of course.
Well, yeah, he put all the Steven Spielberg movies. So I was saying his father's in his 90s. And he said, my dad is off scoring the newest Steven Spielberg movie, Disclosure Day. And this just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah, he was doing it. Yeah.
So yep. If you have not seen the documentary about John Williams, which, of course, has Steven Spielberg in it, you've got to see it. It is absolutely thrilling, and you will be... As much as you love John Williams, you will be amazed by all of the things that he's done that you didn't even know that he did, including the theme for the Olympics.
Yeah. And also his mother is Barbara Britton, who's also an actress, Broadway actress. And his mother, his grandmother, I forget her name. She was on a million sitcoms, Andy Griffith Show. She was on Leave It to Beaver. She was on all those. What a family. He sang Hakuna Matata and Can You Feel the Love Tonight in the animated version of The Lion King. They used his voice for singing in that film.
Is that right?
Yeah,
no idea.
All right, let's talk about that. Stop That Train. What's that about?
With three exclamation points.
Yeah.
I think you know what it's about because it's called Stop That Train. This is a movie where there's a runaway train and the president of the United States is RuPaul. So... It gives you some idea of where it's going. The trailer is hilarious. It's got a lot of RuPaul's Drag Race stars in it and a lot of cameo performances from people like Sarah Michelle Gellar. I think it's going to be just a hoot. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Nell Minow, the movie mom, is here. Can you hear me okay now?
I can hear you fine now, yeah.
All right. We have a problem fixed. All I did was stick my finger in the socket. Now it's fine. Good. Nell Minow, the movie mom,
okay.
And also a writer for RogerEbert.com, is here as well. And we're talking about the summer movie season. One of the biggest movies, most awaited movies of the summer, Toy Story 5, is coming out June 19th.
It looks amazing. I have to say, I said, well, I don't know. I feel like they really wrapped it all up in Toy Story 3, and then they did Toy Story 4, which was pretty good. But this one, I think, has got a great idea. The child has got, she's wonderful, imaginative toys, and everything is great. And then she gets an iPad-ish sort of toy, and all of a sudden, it's all about the screens. And so I think there's going to be some very good stuff in there. I love the fact that the original voice talents are back. Tim Allen was joking that they said he sounded too old to be Buzz Lightyear, and they had to get him to make a younger version of his voice. But I think I'm very, very excited about that. I love Pixar, and I love the Toy Story movies.
A friend of mine is awaiting that movie, too, Toy Story 5. And I said, well, good for you. There's a lot of other movies out there, including, we were talking off the air about Hugh Jackman, how he just keeps making movies.
Yeah.
He's on Broadway, then he makes more movies, back on Broadway. Here he is, The Death of Robin Hood. He's back on the screen again.
Yeah, he is great, and he is, I can't think of another person who can sing and dance as he does, who can play Wolverine, who can do the Sheep Detectives, where he plays a shepherd. He's just incredible, so good for him. He's in The Death of Robin Hood. I'm not sure I want to see The Death of Robin Hood. Sean Connery already died as Robin Hood.
Yeah.
But this one's got a great cast, including Bill Skarsgård, who I love, and Murray Bartlett, and Noah Jupe, who we just saw in Hamnet. That could be pretty good. You know, if you've seen the trailer for Finnegan's Foursome, that looks pretty good, too. After the death of their father, four siblings have to sort through their feelings by continuing his tradition of playing a very, very, very competitive golf tournament with each other. And it looks really good. It's from Edward Burns, who I always like. And then we got Supergirl, who looks like a very different character than her cousin Superman. She's kind of a mess, as we saw in the last minutes of Superman. Fortunately, Crypto, the dog, will be in this one, too. So I'm looking forward to it. And also, it's got a great director, Craig Gillespie, who did I, Tonya, and Lars and the Real Girl. I think the Supergirl movie is going to be good. And then Lucky Strike, from one of my favorite directors, Rod Lurie, based on the true story of a soldier who is lost behind enemy lines in World War II, and starring Scott Eastwood. Now, what I like about Rod Lurie is he went to West Point. He was in the military. His military stories are always very, very good. He did The Outpost. And, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, we're up to July now with another animated Pixar movie, Minions and Monsters.
Oh, bite your tongue. It's not Pixar.
Oh, it's not Pixar.
They'll kill you. The Minions are the powerhouse franchise from Illumination.
Oh,
they're back. And
they look
and
like
they
Pixar.
Are seeking monsters. And what could go wrong? With voices that include Allison Janney, Christoph Waltz, Jeff Bridges, Jesse Eisenberg, Zoe Deutsch, Bobby Moynihan. And, we love those Minions.
How did I ever say that?
They're all boys. Have you noticed that the Minions are all boys?
There are no girls, huh? Well, aren't they like...
Minions? And they asked the guy who created it why, and he said girls are too smart to be Minions.
Well, that's a good answer. that's safe. All right, the 4th of July weekend,
yeah.
We have Young Washington.
Yeah, we have Young Washington, and we also have, the Moana live action with The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, repeating his role as Maui. And, I'm not sure I'm waiting for another live action version of an animation that was already perfectly fine, but okay, all right, fine.
All right,
big movie that is coming out in July is The Odyssey from Chris Nolan.
Let's talk about
that. And that's already been controversial. Yeah, people are already arguing about the race of the characters, of the actors in the movie. They're saying they should all be Middle Eastern or Asian. But I think the casting is fine. Obviously, The Odyssey, one of the greatest stories of all time, and Chris Nolan is always good with big epics. So I think that's going to be pretty good. I like to see Charlize Theron as the nymph Calypso.
The Dink. July 24th.
Yes. Now, how do you feel about pickleball? This is a pickleball movie.
I never played it. I've never seen it played, but I've heard so much about it.
I've heard a lot about it. I have seen it played because the pickleball court is right off of the parking lot of our public library. So I see people playing pickleball there all the time. And it's got Jake Johnson, who I always love. He's very likable, and he plays a former tennis player, and he's a coach, and he gets into pickleball. And his father, played by Ed Harris, who's always great, doesn't like pickleball, and Mary Steenburgen is in it, so I think that's going to be fun. But, yes, we do also have another superhero movie coming out, Spider-Man Brand New Day with Tom Holland and his newlywed wife, Zendaya, as Mary Jane. Now, remember, at the end of the last Spider-Man, they made everybody forget everything about him, so he's got to kind of reboot himself in this one.
How many Spider-Man movies have there been? Probably about five already? I mean...
It's more than that, because we had three with Tobey Maguire, and then we had three with Andrew Garfield, and I think this is the fourth one with Tom Holland. But yeah, Spider-Man is the gift that keeps on giving. I have to tell you one movie that's coming up in August. You know, that's when we get sort of the quirky movies that I've seen and I loved. It's called Cookie Queens, and it's a documentary about the little girls who sell Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, okay.
And there's, oh my gosh, it is so adorable. These girls try so hard, and they are so entrepreneurial, and it's just, they follow four different girls. Do you know that $800 million worth of cookies are sold every year?
Most of that's for me. Because we buy boxes.
Most of that, I was going to say, I buy a lot of Thin Mints.
I like the lemonades and Thin Mints. My wife likes Thin Mints.
Oh, those are good.
Some guy wrote, he had a meme on Facebook, and it said, I've been clean for a year. I was walking down the street, and there I saw my dealer. And they show this little girl selling Girl Scout cookies.
I know.
We're talking.
Oh, my gosh, they're so good.
Talking to Nell Minow. She is the movie mom. She also writes for RogerEbert.com. She gets to see all the movies and give her thoughts about it. We can only talk to friends about it. She talks to the world about what she likes and doesn't like. Do you ever see a movie, print a thing you don't like, and then see it again and say, well, maybe I do like it?
Yes, that has happened. Not that I, you know, really couldn't stand and then looked at it again and liked it. But there are movies that I think that the first time I see a movie, I'm very focused on the plot. And then sometimes I'll see it again and the plot, you know, there's not much plot to it, but I realize that the atmosphere, the performances are really great. And so it'll rise in my view. And also I have two different ways of looking at a movie. One is it good or bad? The other is how watchable it is. So there are a lot of movies that are great, but that doesn't mean you want to watch them again. But there are movies that are just good, but it's like food. They just taste good and you just want to watch them again and again.
My wife and I went twice to go see Bohemian Rhapsody in theaters, then bought the Blu-ray to watch it again, the Queen movie. We just couldn't get enough of that movie. I said, this is fantastic. And if nobody
said, he's great in that.
Yeah, the Freddie Mercury movie. All right, let's talk about August here. August 7th, one night only.
Okay, imagine a world in which single people are only allowed to have sex one night of the year.
See, you got to say it like this.
I'm not crazy about that idea.
You got to say it like Don LaFontaine would do. Imagine a world where you can only have sex
one night of the world.
Yeah, imagine a world.
Right. You gotta say. All right. The trailer does look kind of cute, but as I, you know, August is when you get the quirky and weird and we don't know what to do with it movies. The End of Oak Street, also opening that week with Anne Hathaway, who's in like every other movie this summer. And we got the Paw Patrol movie. You know, my view is Paw Patrol can stay on TV. They don't really need a movie, but okay. The movie I'm really looking forward to in August is Coyote versus Acme. Now, this movie is based on a very short essay in The New Yorker. What would happen if Wile E. Coyote finally noticed that none of the things that he orders from Acme actually work and sued them? And they made that into a movie that's kind of like Roger Rabbit. It's live action with animated characters. And the evil man, David Zaslav, who runs Warner Brothers, decided that it was better as a tax write-off than releasing it. And so he said he wasn't going to release it, and everybody went wild. This was about 3 or 4 years ago. Finally, he allowed another distributor to pick it up, and we're going to get to see it. I got to see some of it last year at Comic-Con. I think it looks absolutely great. It's got John Cena, Will Forte, and all of the Warner Brothers characters, Foghorn, Leghorn, and, of course, Wile E. and the Roadrunner. And so I think Coyote versus Acme is going to be a surprise hit this summer.
Now, I do two impersonations. I don't do a lot of them. One I could do is the Roadrunner. Beep, beep. And I could also do, what's the guy you mentioned? The guy with the hat is always...
Foghorn Leghorn?
No. Is that what you mentioned? Well, he always goes, son, I say, son, come here, son. Let me talk to your son. Get over here.
That's right.
And the other guy...
Well, he's inspired by a radio character on the old Fred Allen show named Senator Claghorn.
Yeah.
Who talked like that, yeah.
And Yosemite Sam I do, too, where he goes, he gets all frustrated. Get over here. All right, August, we skipped one here. Let's get to it. It's called The Magic Faraway Tree.
Yes, well, that is based on a huge, huge bestseller in England, a children's book. And so it's been a very popular book for generations. And it's about children who move to a new area, and they find out that there's a tree that is a portal to other worlds. And it looks absolutely charming with Andrew Garfield as the dad. I think that looks like a lot of fun.
So what's the one, by the way, did you see Disclosure Day? Did you see it yet?
I'm not seeing it yet. They're not showing it to us till next week.
Okay. You looking forward to it? You think it's going to be good?
Oh, I cannot wait to see it. That is the ones I'm most looking forward to this summer are Disclosure Day, Toy Story 5, and Coyote versus Acme. Those are the ones that I'm really excited about.
Okay. We talked about this last time. We were supposed to do it. I forgot to do it. You work for RogerEbert.com. I got to meet him once at the Consumer Electronics Show. Seemed like a nice guy. He talked to me. You know, he didn't know who I was from Shinola, so he was good.
Very nice.
All right, Siskel and Ebert, they started off on public broadcasting, TV, and then they went into syndication later on. And they were the two, thumbs up, thumbs down. They called the movies, and everybody looked for their reviews to see if they're going to go to the movies or not. And sadly enough, they both passed away, and both from cancer. And their last five movies they reviewed were in 1999, and what were they?
Well, the first one was At First Sight. which Siskel gave it a thumbs up. Ebert gave it a thumbs down. Val Kilmer played a blind man who regains his sight. And Mira Sorvino is the girlfriend, and the doctor is Nathan Lane. That's about all there is to say about it. It's not a particularly memorable film.
Yeah. Next one was what?
Another Day in Paradise. Both Siskel and Ebert gave a thumbs up to that one, with James Wood and Melanie Griffith as criminals who are on the run. And they bring along a young couple. And what's most interesting about that is that Vincent Kartheiser, who is really a teenager back then and later became one of the stars of Mad Men, is in the film, along with Natasha Gregson Wagner, whose mother was Natalie Wood.
Oh, okay.
Then also they had The High-Low Country. Siskel gave it a thumbs up. Ebert gave it a thumbs down, with Billy Crudup, Woody Harrelson, both in love, cowboys in love with Patricia Arquette. None of these movies are particularly memorable, but wait until I get to the video recommendation of the week. Playing by Heart, Siskel and Ebert both gave it a thumbs down. It's one of those ensemble movies with a lot of big stars or future big stars with having a variety of different experiences with love, mostly bad. That had Gillian Anderson, Ellen Burstyn, Sean Connery, Angelina Jolie. But I thought what was most interesting about that was what Roger said. He said a marginal thumbs down with some affection.
What does that mean? I have an affection for the film, but I don't like it.
Yeah, okay. The Theory of Flight, one of the weirder movies on this list. Siskel gave it a thumbs up. Ebert gave it a thumbs down. Helena Bonham, then a couple, briefly a couple in real life. Helena Bonham Carter plays a very disabled woman. Kenneth Branagh plays a guy who becomes kind of her caretaker and helps her because the number one thing that she wants out of life is to experience sex. And what Roger said, I thought the most interesting thing that Roger said about it, he said there's a much better film on the exact same subject. It's a documentary called Dance Me to My Song, so I'm going to have to look that one up. But I did see his video pick of the week, which was called Dance With Me. And that is if you like dance movies, that's a really good one. A performer named Cheyenne, he hasn't made many movies, but he is a great dancer. He comes to Houston from Cuba to work at a dance studio run by Chris Christopherson, and there he meets Vanessa Williams. Is there chemistry? Will they participate in a dance competition? Will Chris Christopherson realize that he's the father of this guy? That's basically the plot, but the dances are great in that one. So I do recommend Dance With Me.
You know, it's kind of sad. The five movies they reviewed were kind of, forgettable films. Those are the last of all the films they ever reviewed together. Because Siskel came back for a short time after his surgery. And Ebert came back, too, but he was using that voice thing because he couldn't speak. But those are the last...
Well, Ebert persisted for quite a while with a bunch of guest hosts, and then finally with Richard Roper. And so he stayed on for quite a while until he lost his voice.
So what happened to that show? Why didn't they continue it?
That's a great question. I think other people have tried, and now, it's gone over into the world of podcasts. There are a lot of podcasts that do the same thing, but you're never, ever, ever again going to see two critics who are as charismatic and as important as those two. I mean, that was a brief shining moment.
What really made it interesting, too, they worked for competing newspapers in Chicago. I mean...
Gene said, my job is to beat Ebert. And Roger said, my job is to be Ebert. if you look at RogerEbert.com, I had so much fun. I did a tribute to the anniversary of the show a few months ago. And I'll send you the link to it, where I had a lot of clips from the show, including some behind-the-scenes clips where they really rag on each other. It's very funny.
I actually took a picture of myself with Roger Ebert, sort of. His bronze statue is in Champaign, Illinois, in front of a theater. And there's a bench there.
With his thumbs up, sitting on a bench.
You can sit next to him and take a picture with Roger Ebert. I think that was kind of neat. I like that. Well, I enjoy talking
to you. I was there when it was installed.
Oh, did you? In Champaign?
I've had my picture on it, too. Yeah.
I think everybody did. They always, everybody gives the thumbs up next to Roger when he's sitting there.
Yeah.
I enjoy talking to you. You are such a good person to talk to. You got a bubbly personality and you speak. And that's good because a lot of guests don't give their opinions like you do. You're not afraid to give a negative opinion on something, which is really good. A lot of people won't do that. And I do appreciate that. And at Christmas time, we'll be back and we'll see just how good some of these movies did at the box office. And I do appreciate talking to you, Nell.
It's always a pleasure. I will talk to you in a few months.